Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I discuss the principle of first fruits in the book of Deuteronomy. We talk about the story Carl Gerdes told of the time he was in jail, and he told the Lord, "I don't have anything to give, Lord." And the Lord told him to tithe his desserts. So he gave his desserts to other inmates. There are always ways to tithe what you have. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that you have nothing to give. God always gives you something to tithe. Darren reminds us that so many do not tithe out of fear. I remind the listeners that you not only tithe for your welfare, but for the welfare of future generations. God never speaks in presumption. He always completes what he promises. Now let's join the program.
Well, Barbara, I enjoy coming in every day and doing these shows, and we see response coming from our listeners, and that's great. And we see people change, and that's even better. So I guess better is a little step up above great, right?
Just a little step
up. Just a little step above. Well, let me get some housekeeping out of the way here. We are going to be on the 12th of April, 12th of this month. We're already into April. Isn't that good news?
Isn't that something? Wow.
We're going to be at the Grace United Methodist Church on Yale Avenue. Now, let me tell you how to get there. Yale Avenue is the first exit north of Hamden on I-25. In other words, it's about a mile north. And then you go west two blocks, or you can take Colorado Boulevard to Yale and go either right or left, depending on which way you're going, or you can come down also Monaco and hit Yale. Anyway, it's easy to find. It's two blocks west of I-25, and you'll find the church there. It's a big facility, Grace United Methodist Church, and we're going to be using their fellowship hall, and they've been so gracious to welcome us and allow us to come in and do that. We'll be there at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday the 12th. That's not this Saturday, but I guess we would say next Saturday. We'll be there on the 12th of April at 8:30 in the morning with a complimentary continental breakfast. I hope you'll make time. Come on out. We're going to have a great time. Last month's meeting absolutely blew me away in that it seemed that everything we prayed for, God gave us. I think it was 100%, which I think our batting average or God's batting average was 100%. It'll be a good time. We're going to have fellowship time, of course. We'll have coffee and Lamar Donuts, of course. Thanks, Richard Patak. We appreciate that. And the good fellowship, wonderful music, and then we'll have a couple short teaching sessions, and we will pray for those that have some special needs.
May I just say that right east of the church is a very narrow driveway, and that narrow driveway leads back to the back part of the church, and there's a very large parking lot there. And that's the pastor would like, Pastor Sperber would like the people to use that driveway to get to the back of the church instead of parking along the street. So if, as you come from the east and you're going west toward the church on Yale, there's a very narrow driveway right east of the church, and right. You will turn north in that driveway and go up behind the church.
And there is a small sign out by the sidewalk.
A small sign. Yes, you do.
We're going to have a wonderful time there at that church. It's a marvelous facility, and we believe that's what God's provided for us now. Of course, we believed that last month for the Hamden Inn, and then they up and sold the place. I don't think the Methodists are going to sell their church. I think it'll still be there. So come and join us. We'll have our materials there. We'll have a wonderful time together, and I look forward to these Saturday mornings.
Before we start talking about first fruits, I would just like to say a prayer about our troops. Father God, in Jesus' name, we lift up our troops. We thank you, Father, that they are so willing to lay down their lives for freedom. I praise you, Lord, that you're going before them today. Your angels are encompassing them and going forward. And they are going with many, many weapons of spiritual warfare and heavenly warfare. Father God, we have known from reading your word that you came and destroyed the enemy in just a matter of moments. And we know as you go ahead of our forces that few lives will be lost. And we praise you, Lord, for the victory that is ahead of us. comfort those families that have lost loved ones. Let them know how much we appreciate them in keeping us free from enemy possession in our country of the United States of America. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. You are God, the God of heaven and earth. And all the earth will soon, Lord, be covered with your glory. And we praise you, and we lift up your name on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. You know, Barbara, as we listen to the war reports and they talk about POWs, prisoners of war, I think about many of our people in the body of Christ are still prisoners of war. They're free and they don't know that. Mm-hmm. And the devil, who is the master of deception, has somehow blinded them to wonderful privileges and blessings in the body. I mean, God has provided blessings for us. And I think about that Deuteronomy scripture that I like, Deuteronomy 7:9. And I memorized it, and here's what it says. Know this, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments.
Praise
now,
God.
I'm assuming that you love the Lord God and that you're doing your best to keep his commandments and the things that he wants us to do. And I'll tell you, God is in the blessing business. However, there are some things that some Christians do. Now, I'm sure they're born again, but they're struggling, and I would say in a sense they're out of fellowship with the Lord because they're not tithing and giving alms and offerings. So we're going to talk to you about first fruits today, and it's lined out all the way through the Old Testament and in the New. And I'll tell you, we do have a series on tithing that covers Old Testament tithing and New Testament tithing. But because some people, Barbara, have accepted a consent of ignorance, they say, well, you know, if I just know about that, I'm not held accountable. But you know, when we don't tithe and we don't give according to the Bible, not according to what some preacher or teacher says, but according to the Bible, then we lose. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. I don't know what else to say. Now, maybe you're one of those prisoners of war that the devil has managed to capture and keep you in ignorance and with blind spots and all, and maybe you cooperated with him. But they were saying, don't do that because you're cutting off the blessing from your life.
Well, we've gotten several emails from people, Darren, trying to make excuses for themselves. And one was a very sincere lady whose husband does all of the providing for the family. He goes out and he makes a living. He will not tithe to God. And she's saying, am I going to be held accountable for this? I looked to the interview that you had with Carl and how he was in prison, and he got into the Word of God, and God was saying, you need to tithe, Carl. And he says, I don't have anything, Lord.
Yeah, I'm in jail.
I mean, and that is the excuse of many prisoners. I can't tithe. I'm in jail. I don't get anything. And the Lord told him, tithe your desserts. Now, Carl loves dessert. And he began tithing his desserts to other prisoners, giving his desserts away to other prisoners. And the prisoners were then giving back to him supplies and things. And so he became kind of the, what do you call in that?
Commissary.
That's right.
He was the 7-Eleven on the inside.
He was the 7-Eleven on the inside. I love that story. And you may think that you cannot tithe because you're a homemaker, but you can take what you get. You can take cookies next door. You can bake bread and take it to an invalid or a woman that can't get out. You can also take, if you have a car and the next door neighbor isn't able to go places, you can be the taxi for them. There's all those ways and methods of tithing when your husband won't tithe. But
see,
also, Darren, I would bind that spirit of pride, right, and bind that spirit of stubbornness around my husband
and
pray for him. Yes, pray for him daily.
I would also pray for an opportunity, and we're going to share scriptures with you today, but I believe this, the Holy Spirit will go ahead of you. Now, maybe your big battle is really not tithing. Maybe it's fear. And you're afraid of rejection, or your husband's going to blow a stack, or maybe it's your wife that doesn't want to tithe. And sometimes we find that. The wife says, no, 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 I'm holding on to our money. We're not throwing it around. We're not giving it to the church. Well, I believe this, that if you really pray, and you understand tithing, and you understand giving, and you understand it's a command from the Lord God, God will open up an opportunity for you to share the scripture. And you might say to your loved one, read this scripture here. This is what we're supposed to be doing, and we ought to be doing it so we can have more of the blessings of the Lord on our lives.
That's right. In fact, in Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, it says, be careful to listen to all these words which I command you, in order that it may be well with you and your sons after you forever. Now, you're not tithing just for yourself. You're tithing for future generations, and this is in Deuteronomy 12:28. And for you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. It's so important, Darren, to know that we're tithing and laying up for future generations. Now, another friend also, she wrote in and she emailed in and she says, well, I'm giving to two or three. Am I spreading myself too thin? Now, remember, tithing is 10% of your, of what you bring in, what you live on. And so what you give to the source of your spiritual food,
who's feeding you,
can be two or three different places. And like Darren and I, we tithe to not only Dr. Zodiotis, who's provided this tremendous Bible with footnotes that I use every day, but also Derek Prince. We give to ministries that bless us, that feed us. And that's what you give. You give to your storehouses, it says in Malachi 3:10.
I believe we need to give to ministries that teach us how to win.
Yes.
And that might be someone that teaches you how to get healed, somebody that teaches you how to be blessed, how to be protected. And I want to suggest that you step back one chapter, Barbara, from the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, read chapter 11.
Okay, we're going to go backwards.
And that's right. And okay. See verse 26 here of Deuteronomy 11. And here's what the Lord God says through Moses. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I'm commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. Mm. Now, sometimes, and he's talking there about idolatry, sometimes we get into idolatry and it may be something that's very self-serving. It says, I'm in charge of my house. The husband may say that, or the wife might say that. Now, that can become an idol. Mm-hmm. I'm in charge here. Bless God, it's going to be my way or the highway when it comes to what goes on in my house and with my finances. After all, I earned the money. I ought to know where I want to spend it.
Well, and in the 12th chapter here of Deuteronomy, and oh, I really encourage you to read some of these Old Testament books. They are so enlightening. In the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, Darren, in the 17th verse, you are not allowed to eat within your gates the tithe. You are not allowed to eat your tithe within your house. And so many people take that money that belongs to the Lord, the tithe, the first fruits of their what they bring in to their household and put in their bank. They eat it themselves. They eat the seed. And God is saying, you are not allowed to do this. You take this, give this to the place that you're blessed, your storehouse. And God in the Old Testament chose several places where the people would bring it. Now, in chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, you will tithe. In the 22nd verse, we're going to go here because he says that if this place where you're tithing is a far distance, you turn the animals into cash. You take your herd and you cash them in. Because if it's, you know, many miles.
Many days journey.
God is telling us of an easier way to do it. And here it is in chapter 14, and I want to read this.
Well, I want you to read that, but I want to go back here. You're trying to get me ahead of myself here.
Okay. All right. Okay. I will adapt.
I will adapt to your. I know submission is hard for you. Okay. But you know, God prophesied to his own people. He said, now you're going to go down into Egypt. You'll be there 430 years. And it says at the end of that time, they came out to the very day that God had spoken. And I want to tell you, folks, God never speaks in presumption. When he speaks something, he knows that he can fulfill whatever he said he was going to do. And he was trying to get the people around to where they would trust him to go with them into the promised land and take the spoils. Now, I want to say this to you. God has a vision for all of you. He has a dream for all of you. He has something better than what you have. But you're going to have to fight the battles. And when he told them, he said, now you're going into the promised land. You're going to take it little by little. But there are wild animals there. There are people in this land. But I've given that land to you. And you're going to go in and take their place. And the word the Bible uses is dispossess.
Yes.
But here he says.
And in saying that, I really appreciate the way the armed forces have gone into
Amen.
Iraq.
Amen.
They have gone from the outside encircling them and gone in little by little and taken the territory. And Darren, that's exactly the way to do it.
Well, what they're going to do is dispossess the Iraqi regime, I guess you say that, by Saddam and company. And here in verse 31 of chapter 11, you're about to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall possess it and live in it. And then he goes on to say, you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the judgments which I'm setting before you today. In other words, go by the rules and you're going to end up with the promised land. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. You're going to eat from vineyards you didn't plant. Well, that's good news. God's provision.
That's right. It's like in 32:47, Deuteronomy 32:47. These are not idle words, guys. Amen. You know, listen up. This is your life. And like I told a guy the other day, I said, life is short. And we've got to live it to the fullest and do what God has asked us to do.
And you know, Barb, the enemies a lot of time are inside of us. The
yes,
enemies of
are.
Fear, the enemies of greed or pride, or maybe we won't keep our focus on the Word. We're so easily distracted. Those are the enemies that I find are the ones that are right up in my face. Mm-hmm. Now, my dwelling place, my house is not threatened. We live in a very safe area, a very quiet area, matter of fact. And I enjoy that. But the battles I face are sometimes frustration. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes somebody has said something and I have to judge their words unrighteous. I mean, it's an internal battle. But if I fight that battle spiritually, and in righteousness, I will win, and I will possess those things. And many times God says, now, and really in the promised land, there were spoils. There were houses, and again, there were vineyards. And God says, I want to give you the good life, but you have to go in and dispossess those that are currently squatting on your territory. And I'd say that to all of you today. God has a marvelous blessing for you if you'll do it His way.
Yes, that's right. Well, now can we go to chapter 14?
Yes, you may. I gave you permission.
All right. Now in
chapter 14 of Deuteronomy.
In chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, and all of these verses are in our four-tape series, Tithing, Key to Blessing and Prosperity. And we encourage you to get that four-tape series for $28, and it is in the back of your magazine. And verse 22 of chapter 14 says, "You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year." Now, when you sow in the field, you plant seed. And Darren, that's a concept in the New Testament as well. You're planting seed all the time. If you eat your seed, you have no chance of a crop next year or this year. And we must not eat our seed, which is the tithe.
Well, I'm going to say to some people who are listening to us today, just suppose that Darren and Barbara are right, and that you've been losing because you haven't been doing it God's way. That's why we're talking to you today so straight. And we do have that marvelous four-tape series on tithing. What if you've been losing out because of ignorance? Just you didn't know.
All right, and we see the condition of the body of Jesus Christ, Darren. And it is not an award-winning prosperity here. And we also realize that close to 30% of the body of Jesus Christ does not tithe on a regular basis. So we know that is an extremely important issue here in the...
Wait just a minute. I had lunch with a man the other day. He said, at one time, I was a treasurer in this church. And he said, so I knew what the total church income was. And I estimated, based on the people in that church, what the average tithe was. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what was the number? He says, 2%.
So people say they're tithing, but they're
right.
Only tithing 2%.
Well, they got their idea of tithing. But
oh, okay.
Folks, what we want to tell you is, if you want it to work for you, you need to do it God's way. That means you got to get into the operation manual, His Word, and find out what His way is.
Yes.
Now, let me give you a little warning here. The first 10% is wholly unto the Lord. And when you steal that or commingle that with your personal funds, you're a thief. And I've said to people, you need to repent. You're stealing from God.
That's right. Now, we also realize that tithing came before the law. We're talking about the law here, but tithing came before the law. And you shall, and this is verse 22 again. Here we go. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, your seed, which comes out of the field every year. And you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where He chooses to establish His name, the tithe of your grain. And this is Old Testament. So He established His name in several towns where the people would have to bring their tithe. What was the tithe for? It was not only for a soothing sacrifice to God, a pleasing sacrifice, but also to feed the spiritual leaders.
The Levites.
They had no inheritance among these people, the 12 tribes. The Levites were fed from the tithe that the people brought. They were supported by the tithe of the people. It's the same way today. When people bring tithe to the storehouse where they're blessed, that pastor, the leader of the flock, uses that tithe for his own livelihood. That's the way that God planned it.
And that's God ordained.
Absolutely.
Now, let me say it this way. In the Old Testament, the Levites were right in the center of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And all the tribes were around there. And the tribes had their farms and ranches, whatever you want to say, around the outside. I mean, so they had direct contact with their livestock and so on, and their crops. But they were to bring in that tithe that was holy unto the Lord for the Levites.
Yes, that's right.
And the Levites' inheritance was the Lord God Himself.
Yes. Verse 23, you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock, in order that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always, or revere him, or give him awe, honor. And if the distance is so great for you that you are not able to bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set his name is too far away from you when the Lord your God blesses you, then you shall exchange it for money. And bind the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink. He's not a dictator, Darren. He's saying, I desire that 10%, and that's not the 100%. It's only 10% of what you sow. And he says, and then you may spend your tithe on whatever you desire. There you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. Also, you shall not neglect the Levite who is in your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. And that Levite is the spiritual leader. It's where you are fed.
That's right. So, that's the priest or the pastor, the Bible teacher.
Yes. So here we give an offering to the Lord. We bring it to the place where it is burned. Part of our offering is burned to the Lord, given to the Lord, to the Levitical priesthood. Then part of it, Darren, the people eat. The people rejoice and celebrate. This is a feast for the people. They not only come and bring their tithe to the Lord, but they also receive in the process.
You know, one of the things I have, and of course, I need to preclude what I'm going to say here by saying this, that I was raised in the church. My dad was a pastor, and he primarily pastored small churches. But I have to say that some people hurt the church because they didn't give as prescribed in the Word. But they also hurt themselves, grievously hurt themselves.
Yes.
And also I have a kind of a personal thing, and we try to practice this in our ministry. When we see a need, we try to reach out and meet that. And sometimes we have to call on you guys that are listening here to help us. Well, I believe that all of the money coming into the church, according to Scripture, doesn't have to remain there. I believe their local needs, we need to try to meet them. And not just through a bunch of committees. Well, you know, we have a committee that occasionally helps the widows and occasionally helps the orphans and occasionally we help people that are in need. Now, I know that can be abused. People can come and they've tried to abuse our ministry by saying, well, gee, you ought to give to me. After all, I have a need. Well, if I think that they have wasted their money, my hand is not open to them. But I do think in many cases where here in this chapter, part of the tithe went back to bless the people.
Yes, it did. And as we read in Malachi 3:10 and 11, Darren, that tithe is to rebuke the devourer. And so many people are getting stolen from. They're really, it's pathetic how the body of Jesus Christ, the thief, the devil, is stealing from them left and right. And it's because they are not tithing. They are not tithing and rejoicing with their tithe.
And really, there are two ends to that spectrum. One is just plain ignorance. And one is selfishness. They know better, but they go ahead and they violate those rules and commandments and ordinances of the Lord God, and they end up losing.
Yes.
And then they say, why? You know, what happened here? How come I'm always sick? How come my car is always broken down? How come my appliances don't last very long? Let me tell you, if you check with a serious tither, their appliances last a long time. So does their car. So does their clothes, their shoes. So does the roof on their house. How come they get an extra 5 or 10 years on the roof on their house? I believe it's because they're tithers.
Yes, and they're not being devoured. I mean, their possessions are not being taken away from them because they are tithers. Now, some of you say, you know, there's not tithing in the New Testament, though. This is Old Testament. And I believe a lot of Old Testament we receive and we honor God through Old Testament teachings. But in the New Testament, in Matthew 23, Darren, we find that Jesus is warning the Pharisees. And in the 23rd chapter, in the 23rd verse, he says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He calls every one of them hypocrites. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. That's justice and mercy and love. He's talking about the things that are most important, love, mercy, and justice. But he says, these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Now, Jesus is putting it on you here. He's saying you need to love. You need to see justice shown in your household and in the community, and you need to have mercy towards your neighbors and your family, but you also need to tithe, doing both of those things. Jesus is coming on and saying, and you know what? Not only tithing 10% to the Lord, but you need to give offerings and alms, charitable love gifts, to those in need around you. So Jesus is turning on the heat a little bit here, and he's saying, you know what? I'm going to bless you because you're giving. It is better to give than to receive.
Okay, if you take John 10:10, it says it in one verse. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Many times he does that through people's rebellion and through their ignorance. Again, I'll say that. Well, let me just do a little supposing here. Let's say that you have kids that are in elementary school, and you have a neighbor or you have someone in your church or whatever, and their kids are just a little younger than yours. Now, you could pass your worn-out shoes down to those kids. Okay, that's an idea. But what if you go to buy shoes for your children? What if you took those other kids along with you and you bought shoes for them too? And it could be a joyful time. They could come home with brand new shoes just like your kids do. Or you could take them down. You have a sale that you want to go to. Why don't you take them down? You buy a couple shirts for the other kids. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can bless them. And you know, sometimes that person that's in your church would be embarrassed if you handed them money. But why don't you say, listen, I'm taking my kids down to the sale at Penny's or wherever you're going, and I'd like to take your kids along. Would that be okay with you? See, to me, that's a matter of alms, or it's a matter of giving something in addition to what you want to give to your church or your fellowship or your special mission. And I think we need to look for opportunities to do that. Or maybe you buy extra groceries at the store and you give them a bag of groceries. What's wrong with that?
You're so right, Darren. In 2 Corinthians verse 9, chapter 9 in the 9th verse, I'm sorry, he says, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. And then the 10th verse, of course, you know, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And it's only through giving to the poor, as you're talking about, seeing the needs and giving to those needs.
Okay, now let's back up 2 verses to 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all favor abound unto you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you'll have an abundance for every good need or deed.
Yes.
And he talks previously in that chapter about being joyful, cheerful givers. And folks, I'm telling you, it's not a grievous time. One of the most selfish things you can do for yourselves is to become a giver and become a tither and keep track of it and say, God, here it is. I brought it all to your storehouse. Now I'm leaning on you for the blessings you promised. And believe me, folks, he'll bring it to you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in